Hello everyone, it's Grace and Emily here, and today we have our guest Katie Hutton. She is a content marketing manager at Eide Bailey. So Katie, just to start off, first of all, thank you for coming. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today with your current position?
Absolutely. So I have been a marketing professional for over 10 years. Specifically started my career in marketing because I wanted to write for a living. So I was looking in college for anything that would allow me to write for a living. Was a journalism major for a little bit, then took a public relations class in college, loved that. So got a public relations and communications internship at the Chamber of Commerce here in town. And after that, then went on to get my master's degree at North Dakota State University. My master's is in mass communication, but really my thesis was on corporate use of social media. So already having that marketing kind of component, and specifically the stories that businesses could tell around using social media. And it was relatively new at the time. There weren't actually a lot of studies even of businesses being able to use Facebook for their own corporate usage. So that was a really interesting, and it wasn't that long ago. So it's amazing how far it's come. And then after that, got hired back full time at the Chamber, and was their communications coordinator for a little bit, and then took over their department as the marketing and communications manager. And then was hired by Eide Bailey, first and foremost, to do Fargo-based marketing. So Fargo marketing for the region, for any of our partners, whatever business development initiatives they wanted to undertake, different marketing activities, and also how Eide Bailey could get back into the Fargo-Moorhead community. Mm-hmm. And then about a year and a half ago, the marketing department went through a restructure, and they introduced a new position in charge of content marketing and taking a look at how we can be more strategic in our content. And so I got to go back to my love of writing and have been in that position for about a year and a half now.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a lot. That's really cool. Did you ever think that you would end up marketing for an accounting firm?
No, not even a little bit. No, my husband is an accountant. I don't speak the language of accounting at all. I'm not
for
the math person at all. No, not for
Eide
Bailey. For another organization. So I work with accountants during the day. Then I go home and I'm married to an accountant. And so, but what I really love about the work that we do is that we help businesses succeed in areas that, just like me, they don't necessarily know anything about, and but they need it in order to grow their business. And so that's more the story I'm interested in telling, is how do you help our clients succeed and grow their operations? And it just happens to be that accounting might be that mechanism for them. Mm-hmm. But no, not an accountant at all.
So kind of going off of that and about working for an accounting firm, what do you do on a day-to-day basis, and what offering do you try to market to your target market?
So on a day-to-day basis, my day can look like any number of things. A lot of my time is spent on our website, whether it's on the front end of our website or on our Google Analytics account or using our SEO optimization software. And really looking at the content that we have already created and how can we optimize and enhance that, and what are the trends that we should be producing new content around. And then also just taking a look to it, how things are performing. Today I had about an hour where I just spent looking at our top performing insights to make sure that they weren't, that if there were any that were new, but also that the ones that have been up there for a while stayed up there, and that we could enhance them and make the user journey the best possible thing that it could be. A lot of the other things that I do are involved in our strategic campaigns that Eide Bailey undertakes. Specifically, an example would be we recently launched an exit planning campaign, and so tying in all of our services that have anything to do with exit planning and how key stakeholders can exit their business and why they need to plan years in advance in order to correctly exit their business from a tax perspective, from valuing their business, from actually selling their business to the types of options that they could sell. And so that is a lot of meetings just with key stakeholders to understand what are the key priorities that we have within that kind of project, and then how can we best create content that answers the reader's questions. As far as what we market, Eide Bailey is a top 20 CPA and business advisory firm in the nation, so we market any number of things from what you think of for typical accounting, taxes and audits and compliance-based services, to we have a business outsourcing and strategy practice, which would be like a CFO on call or a controller on call or helping small businesses set up their books and make sure that they have a full-fledged financial department, even though they might not actually have the ability to hire one in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Cybersecurity, data analytics, healthcare consulting, tax reform. We have a large technology consulting practice, which not everybody knows, including that they are a top provider for both NetSuite and Salesforce. And so we have just a huge plethora of things. I like to joke with people that really about the only thing we don't have on staff are lawyers. And we have really good connections with lawyers. So if your business needs
so
one,
we're covered.
Yeah, so you're covered there. But yeah, we have the wide variety. So far more than just typical like taxes and audits.
Wow, you guys do a lot.
We do.
I bet you're never bored.
No, it's always different from hour to hour.
Mm-hmm. Do you like that
a lot? Yes, very much. Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome. So what are your main objectives when creating new content and developing new marketing strategies?
So our objectives for creating new content are really, our goal is to create user-generated content that serves a purpose. So we always start with our end user in mind, and we say, what are the questions that they have, and how do we create content packages, not just a single blog post, but is it a blog post? Is it an insight? Is it a white paper to just answer the questions mm-hmm. that they have and answer it in a way that they want to learn about?
Mm-hmm.
And that we create content with a purpose. So we don't create content just to create content. There's always a reason behind everything that we create. And so for a lot of it, it's not even so much necessarily creating new content right now, is that we're updating existing content that we've had, because we've been creating content, but we've not ever necessarily been strategic about how we create that content, and we create it in more powerful and meaningful ways. So if we can tell a story over two really long but really quality blog posts as opposed to 15 shorter snippets of blog posts, mm-hmm. then I spend a lot of time doing that and combining those things. So
mm-hmm.
I would say that those are a couple of the main objectives, of really just creating content that serves a purpose and answers questions, and the content that's always search engine optimized. We live in a digital age,
mm-hmm.
and so we can't just create content assuming that it's going to go out in just like a paper newsletter. We don't even do paper newsletters anymore. All our newsletters are automated. And so that's one way for our clients to get that information. But also, we want the people who are just searching for answers online to be able to find us and see us as a resource.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's truly a key objective of ours, as well as to optimize everything that we do, and then to really create prospect and user education, and then hopefully engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you measure the amount of engagement or the amount of exposure? Because you were saying how sometimes two longer blog posts can be more effective than 15 short ones. How do you kind of measure the effectiveness or the exposure that you get?
Absolutely. A number of different things. We measure, I look on a monthly basis at all of our top performing insights, what those are, as well as where the source of the traffic came from. So whether it was from Google, that we were the top search engine on Google, whether it came from one of our newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also look at the navigation summary. So where did they come from to get to that, and where were they going off of that page? Because then we can tweak the resources that we're providing in those articles to better mm-hmm. align with what people are searching for.
Yeah.
We look at things like just like unique page views, clicking through to different resources. Bounce rate is a big one for us, is trying to get people to stay on the page, mm-hmm. because the more they can stay on the page and we can become the best answer for them on the internet, as opposed to asking to send them somewhere else or them Googling and risking like going off of our site again.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just a few of the metrics that we measure. We also look, we have monthly newsletter meetings where we look at our newsletters open rates, how the stories were clicked through, because our newsletters are focused on headlines and then teasers. And so how effective were those teasers? So did people click and actually read the articles, and what did they do with mm-hmm. that? For larger firm-wide campaigns, it's also social media engagement, shares, likes, comments, digital ad buys within the realm of social media, and what happened on those digital ads. Did they actually take action on those ads?
Mm-hmm.
We also have looked at, you know, ebook downloads, how many people are filling out ebook downloads, or how many people are following up with actual warm leads for our stakeholders to follow up with them. So just a few different metrics that we are looking at all the time. We've definitely become smarter, I think, about looking at our metrics and really using that to tweak our approach, because we have more data than ever before. We're not mm-hmm. guessing anymore. We know what's working and what's not, and we yeah. can tweak it to make it more efficient. And if not for that campaign, then what learning tools can we take to the next campaign and say, this will work better than next time?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So speaking of content and exposure to your content, yeah. how do you keep your content fresh and new and
yeah.
exciting?
We have run search engine reports on every one of our industries and services, what people are searching for, what they're looking for. And we make sure that we have crafted content around those types of overall questions mm-hmm. and themes. We are also constantly reviewing. We have almost 900 insights on our website, and I am on there constantly taking a look at them and auditing them and pulling them down as needed or updating them and enhancing them so mm-hmm. that they are new and different. A perfect example is we had a insight that was ranking really well. It was on Snapchat recovery and how you could recover your Snapchat images. It was a great article at the time, but now in 2020, that technology doesn't exist anymore. You can't recover your Snapchat messages or images the way that you used to be able to. And so that article was out of date. So we mm-hmm. wouldn't have known that if we hadn't been constantly reviewing the top performing right. insights and saying, hey, is this fresh? Is this up to date? How do we change this? Or how do we make it new and different? And we don't like to take down our top performing insights, right. but we don't also want to provide mm-hmm. poor information. Right. And so I think it's just a matter of also staying top on of trends. But I always challenge our stakeholders to not just say, we passed a tax reform bill, but we passed a tax reform bill. What is the additional piece that Eide Bailly can provide? What are like the top tips that we can provide to the reader that says, but this is what this means? Because to a wide variety of people, not obviously in my office because they would understand it, but like the technicalities of a tax reform bill right. are just completely lost on the general public. Mm-hmm. So the more we can be just really down to earth and explain in layman's terms what it means and how it will impact their business, I don't consider that dumbing down content at all. I consider mm-hmm. it being like almost like the reader's wingman is right. giving them the yeah. information for them to be able to make an informed decision.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you talked about how it's more updating content rather than creating new content. Mm-hmm. Do you have kind of a schedule of content that you use or a schedule to know when to update things? Or is it kind of just what you said, keeping up to date on the trends and kind of on a varying basis depending on what content it is?
We have a set of firm-wide priorities, so specifically based around our industries. So reviewing content is kind of prioritized based on the industries that are affected by that content. We don't have a specific content-based schedule right now just because so much of it, like you said, is updating and enhancing right. current content. Mm-hmm. But going forward, we want to be far more proactive in this upcoming year with creating content packages that would apply to a wide variety of audiences. Yeah. So like I was working on what does it look like if the content package is the business case for fraud? And so what are the individual blog posts that might affect manufacturers? But then there's a larger ebook that talks about the top 10 fraud myths debunked. Mm-hmm. So really taking a look more strategically like that at by quarter, how can we focus our priorities on the content that we produce and the mm-hmm. larger quality content pieces as opposed to we get a lot of right now, just a lot of one-off because the nature of what we do, especially with yeah. the time that we're in, they're still releasing tax legislation. They just got done with year end and releasing rates for the upcoming year. Mm-hmm. So we have those and we know we'll always have those. But our content schedule really is trying to focus more on creating larger quality pieces like once or twice a quarter as opposed to getting out as many insights as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
So you talked about trying to reach a wide variety of an audience. Mm-hmm. Who would you say you target as an audience?
Eide Bailly's target audience as a whole are small to mid-sized growing businesses. Mm-hmm. Our geographic footprint is basically the Mississippi West. That's where our client base, our offices are, but we do have clients all over the nation. Mm-hmm. But really focused on those small to mid-sized businesses that are in growth mode and how can we help them across the continuum of their business. We do also offer services for individuals as well. But really the target audience for what we're trying to produce content for are those business owners, mm-hmm. those C-suite level executives, and answering those type of questions for them. Nonprofit board of directors. So the higher level financial people, but then also just the higher level decision makers in the organization, because so much of the work that we do impacts just the way they do business mm-hmm. and how they can do business better.
Yeah. What are some effective strategies when trying to persuade your target audience to do business with iBailey?
I think that it starts really with understanding who your target is, our target audience is, and what they're looking for. And so it's a lot of research. So it's a lot of talking to our stakeholders who work day in and day out with those type of people in those type of industries. It's search engine reports and looking at what people are looking for online and their digital patterns. It's reviewing the things that worked well in our campaigns in the past and also mm-hmm. digital trends that are occurring in the future. I think that really trying to persuade them is one thing, but really we're just trying to educate them. And by educating mm-hmm. them without a very hard sales approach, especially initially, we really just want to give them the information that they need and mm-hmm. then encourage them to see iBailey as a thought leader. So it makes a logical next mm-hmm. step for them to approach iBailey because they know that we know what we're talking about and they know mm-hmm. that we are somebody that they can work with. A lot of times people will come into tax season, especially, or if they've had fraud in their organization and they're scared or they're confused and they don't know what's going on and they just need somebody who can help solve that for them. So the more that we can be approachable and relatable and provide them mm-hmm. answers, the better off that we'll be.
Yeah. Is that an approach that they've used since you started working there, is kind of more so to educate people and inform them about it rather than to sell them?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Although iBailey has just recently, so we're over 100 years old, and we are introducing a sales culture just now into the organization. Okay. So really thinking strategically about how that looks. So at what point does education stop and you're incredibly interested? Mm-hmm. Now let's have a next conversation about what you can do for yourself versus what we can help you do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited for that change because I think it'll really propel us mm-hmm. into growth mode. But really for us, it has always started with, we don't want to sell you off the bat. We want to help understand your pain points and the problems that you have and how we can help solve those, or how we can at least give you resources to help solve those pain points.
Mm-hmm. And would you say educating your consumer or your audience makes you stand out over other accounting firms?
Yes, I would say that. And also just the breadth of services that we provide mm-hmm. and the ability that we have to help them throughout the entire life cycle of their business on any number of things. Mm-hmm. I think those are probably the two things that would make us stand out mm-hmm. from our competition.
How does consumer behavior play a role in your day-to-day tasks, but then also just how your company operates or how they kind of the approach that they take to interacting with the consumers?
I would say for me, consumer behavior comes back to understanding what people are looking for and understanding mm-hmm. who we're writing this for, because if we don't know that, we can't create anything. Yeah. And so for us, it really starts with an understanding of who are our target audiences and then what is the industry that they're in and then what are the pain points that they're trying to address. And how do we get that information? So do we mm-hmm. get it from, sometimes it's literally just, we have had 10 clients ask the same question. Maybe we need to do a webinar on this, or maybe we need to create more content answering this question because it's obviously a source of pain or confusion for our clients. Sometimes it's looking, you know, more broadly at why the type of things people are asking. It's looking at the things that they look for online, the things mm-hmm. that are in the news that we can comment on and that we can better. So really almost everything that I do is driven by the behavior of our clients and tweaking the things that we do based on their behavior when they're interacting with our content to make it even better. And hopefully we're going to get to a point where we won't have to tweak as much because we've really figured out the type of pieces that they're looking for, and we're getting a lot of the interaction. Mm-hmm. So even we have a couple of insights that were, they were performing semi well, I would say, but then really we started enhancing and we said, hey, this one is actually ranking for when people are looking, especially at year end, for personal use of company vehicle. What if we just expanded on this and if we made it better? And so we added in a download where they could see with a couple of worksheets where they could fill out, like, what is personal use of company vehicle actually look like within your organization. And we added in some more links and we tied it into an overall campaign. And now that insight, because of those tweaks, is now our number one performing insight of all of our insights on our website. And it's also shows up number one for organic search and number three for a couple of different terms surrounding personal use vehicle. But we knew enough to know that people were looking for that, but they're not necessarily looking for that except really at your end. Yeah. And so, and that was a topic that's not necessarily covered before. Mm-hmm. And so to make that pull out and stand out, we wouldn't have known that without researching what our customers are looking for. And I think that the best businesses understand their targets and are and know that one time customer analysis isn't going to do anything, that they have to constantly evolve and constantly look and talk about your personas and have your key personas changed, or do they need to, and how do you adapt your approach, not necessarily your services, unless, you know, they're based in technology, but how do you understand the needs of your customers, because they're constantly evolving.
Yeah, and it sounds like you guys do a really good job of listening to your customers too, and just actually wanting to equip them with what they need, so that's really cool.
What would you say is the most interesting thing that you have learned about consumer behavior just in your entire experience?
I think, I don't know, there's just so many, I think it's just interesting, the more I've gotten involved in like search engine optimization, the things that people look for that we come up for, and the things that we would never have thought of looking for before. We have an insight that we are ranking pretty highly for, and it shows up as one of the search terms is dental coating for dummies. And it's the featured snippet, like, right next to an image of literally like the four dummies brand books. Like, and at first I was like, why? And then I thought, you know what? We're being an incredibly helpful resource. If Google sees us that highly, that we're being put up next to, like, basically the whole brand of, like, insert X for dummies.
Right.
And the power that could have, and just kind of those basic educational general articles to get people, just help them understand. I think that's probably one of the things I've been most surprised by, is just a lot of what we deal with is complex, but the more we can break it down, the better off I think we'll be in the long
run. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I haven't looked recently if it's still that, but I mean, that was like probably a month ago. I was looking at the search results for it and I was like, wait, what? And so then I didn't believe it. So I actually Googled it. I'm like, sure enough.
That's so random.
Yeah, and I like screenshotted it and sent it to the industry marketing manager. And I was like, hey, look what you're ranking for.
Oh
so,
my gosh. That's funny. Do you think that there are any types of risks that consumers perceive before doing business with Eide Bailly? And what are some things that you kind of do to decrease that risk?
I don't know if it's risks about working with Eide Bailly specifically. That's the nice thing about being a nationally ranked CPA firm. We have a history of knowledge. However, they're dealing with a lot of risk most times when they come to us. In some form, whether it's compliance-based risk with their taxes, or if they've experienced fraud or a cybersecurity risk. And so they're not necessarily coming to us in the most fantastic circumstances. We're hoping that they're already clients, so when they come to us, we already have that working relationship with them. But you can't imagine that like a manufacturing entity that goes through a huge fraud risk and all of a sudden loses thousands of dollars is really in a very happy mood when they come to see us. And so I think understanding that, and understanding that they just need help, and understanding where they are at in that moment, our stakeholders and our partners are just really great about listening and having that experience and that depth. And we've really developed a huge and well-rounded team that can help solve those problems. But it all starts with understanding that they're not, we would love if they were all coming to us and we wanted to grow our business, but there's a lot of risk in some of the services that they do. And so it's good to understand that. And really, I think our people are getting very well versed in the understanding of what our client needs are in order to best serve them. And, you know, I think we can always be better. And I think organizations as a whole can be better at understanding the story behind what they're doing and the why behind what they're doing. That it's not just an audit for an audit's sake, even though an audit is normally a requirement if a company has an audit. But what does that audit actually mean to that organization, or what can that value can that audit provide? And when we start to think two steps above the actual product itself, I think that's where we meet our clients.
Yeah, and kind of putting yourself in their shoes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that really helps kind of what you were saying about when there's already an existing client that comes back because they already have that sense of trust kind of with your company.
But. Yeah, for instance, we have a couple, like we have a variety of different clients that we work with. And so we have like our fraud team, they could have somebody just respond to them because they already have fraud occur and they need a forensic expert to testify on their behalf and to review what happened and to hopefully recoup some of those losses. And that's, you know, that's one when they can come straight out of, you know, that situation and they find Ide Bailey, which is great. But then we also have clients who then, if they suffer a fraud loss, already having that relationship where we can just refer them to our fraud practices, that just gives them further peace of mind and helps them to understand all that Ide Bailey can actually do for them. And that's why, especially for my role in particular, where that comes into play is that we start to have conversations about not doing campaigns based on one service. So we don't just say, today we're going to do a tax campaign, but instead we think more broadly about year-end applies to all clients. All clients have to file some sort of year-end documentation. So what are the services that they have to include? Well, they have to include taxes so that they can be compliant in their taxes, but they also have to deal with their payroll stuff, and they also have to deal with their W-2s and their 1099s. And so the more that we can holistically think about what does that package look like for a client, not here you got an email from us about your taxes are due, and now here you've gotten an email about here's our W-2 ebook, but how can we make that a giant package around you have to year and plan? To you, it's no different. But internally, it might be three or four different service lines that you're working with. But externally, we need to come at them and with a package that says, here's what you're dealing with, and here's how we can help you solve your pain points.
So what are some ways you can enhance opportunity for your clients, given?
I think working at a national firm like Ide Bailey, there's always something else that we can do for them, and they might not understand that they need that service, but really it's more about just talking to them about what's going on in their business. And they're never going to say, I used to joke when I did some business development training with some of our newly promoted either senior associates or managers, that no one's ever going to come up to you directly and say, I'm really concerned that I'm going to have a cybersecurity threat in my organization, and I'd really like you to help me prepare a cybersecurity plan in order for that to happen. Or they're not going to say, my books are not in order and I can't make strong business decisions because I don't know what the X, Y, and Z means in my financial statement. They're never going to say that to you. So it's really about, and what Ide Bailey trains their people to is to listen, to say, when they say things like, I don't feel like I can make financial decisions because I don't have the right information, for that to raise a flag for them to say, hey, you know what? Let's take a look. Let's see what's going on, and to understand that the services we provide and the ways that we enhance and provide value always circle back to the problems that our clients are facing. And so I think there's any number of ways that we can provide additional value based on what clients are doing. I mean, everybody really needs cybersecurity help in this day and age. I was just working on a fraud project before I came over here, and the numbers are terrifying about the number of businesses that will encounter fraud and the amount of money that's lost to fraud. I mean, there's always those type of services, but we have to meet people where they're at and when they're ready to have those conversations. And hopefully those conversations are occurring before things like that happen to them, and we have to be reactive. So,
Was there anything else you wanted to say to our listeners about consumer behavior or just about your work in general?
I would say that really the world is a digital place, and there we are living in an age full of information. And so really what you should strive to do if you have any desire to do content or to marketing is, how do you stand out and how do you best help your target audience? You don't have to be everything to everybody, but how do you create the best possible answer to your client's pain points. And if you can just keep going back to that over and over and over again, I think that your marketing will be successful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming today.
Yeah, thank you.
We really enjoyed having you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.